Do we have the board here, Brother Taylor, or it's... I'd like for them to get the board. I don't know that we'll use it, but we haven't brought it out. Of course, we haven't brought it out in a long time, but it could very well be that we might use it. And I might take a few minutes tonight and talk about some things that might answer a question or two that some of you have been asking. If you've got your Bibles, perhaps you'd like to read with me. If so, turn over to the book of Daniel. I've been asked a number of times about these different things, and we have a little book coming out on this. As a matter of fact, I think they're working on it right now. And I'm sure that it will be helpful in understanding this because we outline a few things and we kind of take our time in it and make it just as clear as we possibly can in the writings. And I feel sure that it'll be beneficial to you, but some of you that probably won't get to read it or maybe you won't get a hold of the book, we'll say a few things concerning, well, just a few things that's recorded in the little booklet, and it might help you to understand. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel. We'll probably start reading from the 20th verse, or the 19th verse it is. The things that we're going to read here and talk about, if I can, might answer a few questions. I'm always asked questions that a lot of times I can't answer. You know, they come up and they'll say, well, Brother Pike, what about this or what about that? Well, I just can't answer it like that because it takes more than just a few words to be able to answer it. And if I say anything, I'll just get you in a wilderness over it. And then you'll be worse off than you was before I said anything. You know, if we've been better off if I hadn't said anything. So I try to refrain from doing it and maybe just answer the questions that I can answer and then go on from there until I can have a chance to teach you or talk with you. All right? Brother Taylor, if you've got your chalk or whatever. You see that very good out there? I'd like for you to listen tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor just kind of fit it together here as we talk to you and try to reason with you a little bit about the Word of God. In the 9th chapter of the 19th verse of the book of Daniel, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. And defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination shall he make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right, now, I want you to notice this, because we just have to take our time and talk to you about it. Perhaps many of you already understand it, and I'm glad if you do. But some of you perhaps do not understand it. And if you do not understand it, then I'd like to take just a little bit of time and try to expound the word to where you can understand it. Daniel here, of course, had been fasting and been praying. And there was times Daniel would go maybe 21 days without food, fasting and seeking God. And God would answer Daniel's prayer and show Daniel a vision. And obviously here Daniel was calling on the name of the Lord, fasting and praying, and the angel of God in heaven came down and visited with him. The same angel that came to announce the birth of Jesus came to visit with Daniel. You know, angels never grow old. Isn't that right? Look at this angel visiting with Daniel. More than 400 years, 500 later on, the same angel comes back, just as fresh as the morning dew. Now, you say, well, what's that to us, Brother Pike? Because it means a lot to me for this reason. The Bible tells me that in heaven we're all as the angels. And the Bible tells me that I have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of my God, and that I am no longer in the earth, but I have been chosen out of the earth, and I am hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And the Bible said in heaven, they're all as the angels. Said being equal to the angels, you cannot die. I like that, don't you? If Gabriel can't die, then I can't die either. All right, so then angels, we know then, don't die. Angels are spirits. And being equal to the angels because of eternal life, then we as human beings, we don't have to die because we've been born again of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so it's a wonderful thing when we consider the wonderful works of Almighty God and the wonderful things that He hath been doing. Notice this, He said, while I was confessing my sins. You know, sometimes it pays to confess your sins. Said, while I was confessing my sins, yet the angel of God said, Daniel, thou art greatly beloved. Think about that. Daniel was greatly beloved, and yet he was confessing his sins. If Daniel confessed his sins, being greatly beloved, then we ought to take time sometimes to acknowledge our faults, don't you reckon? All right, so Daniel said, I was confessing my sins and the sins of my people Israel. I was presenting my supplication to God. He said, and I was speaking in prayer. About this time, Daniel said, I saw Gabriel. I seen the vision as Gabriel just swiftly went by. Reminds me of what Job said. You know, Job spoke one time of seeing the angelic beings go by, and he said the hair stood up on his body. Said he didn't see them plain, but enough to make the hair stand up on his body. Whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, said he touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Now, he went on to tell Daniel, he said, I have come to tell thee what shall befall thy people in the latter times. All right, notice this now. He said, Daniel, first of all, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgressions, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now, Brother Taylor, have you got your chalk? I want you to do a little writing for me. Let's let Brother Taylor do a little writing here. Now, it might take quite a bit of the board, but write, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, Brother Taylor's going to put this at the top up here as a reminder. Being right at the top, every time you kind of start getting lost in your thoughts, you can just flash back over to where it says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins. Okay, give him just a few minutes to write this now. Upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. And I know he's not writing this fast. And to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now, if Brother Taylor had known shorthand, it'd been all right.
I got to the finish line.
Okay. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. If you got that much. Okay, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. I want you to especially notice this now as I talk about it because to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity. I want you to notice this because it is unusual. You know, the scriptures are real unusual. Me and Brother Taylor, we used to go round and round about this when he first came to be with me until he learned that the Bible was like this. But here you don't have, from the time that they start with this sentence, you don't have anything but commas until you get down to where it says, anoint the most holy. All right. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. To bring in everlasting righteousness. How many of you can read that from out there? Can you read that real good? Okay. And to, for iniquity and bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now, this is what the visitation was all about. See, the visitation of Gabriel to Daniel came for this specific reason. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. All right, now you can read this up here and see what we're trying to tell you. Now, I really want you to keep your eyes on that now because I want to talk to you about it just a little bit. The reason I had Brother Taylor to write this particular thing, it is because this one thing is what the visitation was all about. If I have that one thing up there that you just read it over and over and over, you'll know why that the angel came to visit with Daniel and why that it is like it is as we go down the line trying to explain to you the things that God would have us to say to you. All right, now I want to take my time tonight if I can, and I want to be able to clarify just a few little things that might be in your mind and in your heart. Maybe it isn't in your mind and maybe it isn't in your heart, but it is in somebody's mind, it's in somebody's heart. Because I have so many people that come to ask me about different things concerning the things of which I'm going to speak tonight. I would like to clarify them to where in the event that they are used anywhere else that there won't be any repercussions from it and to where it will be clear. I say again to those that get the little book called The Sign of His Coming will probably get it more clearer than I would express it tonight, because we have a combination of things in there that has to do with spiritual things and also things that are related to historical facts. Now, Brother Taylor, can you get your Bible too? All right, now, you can see here this part that we're going to deal with. Now, I want to ask you again, can you read that? Raise your hand if you can read that. Okay, looks like quite a few of you can read it. Back in the balcony, can you read it pretty good? All right, now, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint thee most holy. All right, now, first of all, what is Daniel talking about? Or rather, what is the angel talking about when he says 70 weeks is determined upon the people? Now, we spoke about this before, and some of you already know. I'm sure that some of you that are great Bible scholars out there, you probably know this before I even get into it. But nevertheless, for them that don't know, I'd like to say just a little about it. Now, 70 weeks. When Daniel heard Gabriel talking about this thing, then he was troubled about it. He couldn't understand. And God came to his rescue and made him to understand. For as he began to read the prophecy of the old prophets, he suddenly discovered that God, in prophetical utterance, likened a day to a year. So then a day was as a year. Daniel realized that when you spoke of a week, you were speaking of 7 days. So then when you speak of 70 weeks, that you were speaking of 70 times 7, which would be, as you got your pencils, figure it, 490 years. 70 weeks, if I'm getting wrong, now somebody correct me on my arithmetic. I never was very good at it anyway. 70 weeks, 490 years. God said, Daniel, 70 weeks is determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. He said, Daniel, I have determined, God said. Now this is God talking, remember. God said, I have decided, Daniel, that from this very time that you're in Babylon, I'm going to talk with you, make you to know the end, because you're such a beloved person and you're so troubled and concerned about your people and the things of God, that I'm going to make you know that 70 weeks is determined upon your people. Thousands of years, Daniel, before this thing will come to the finish, I'm going to tell you all about it. Here, 70 weeks, 490 years. He tells us that this 70 weeks, 490 years, will begin from the time that the commandment is given or goes forth to restore the wall and the streets or the city to the Messiah or the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, a lot of people say, well, I don't know when the end's coming, Brother Pike. Well, if you'll listen tonight, you can tell when the end's coming. Won't be any question about it. Now, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people to make an end. 490 years, Daniel, is determined upon thy people. Daniel had been taken down into Babylon as a boy. He had been down there all this time. He had fasted, prayed, told his visions to the great leaders, the great kings. Now then, God was telling him what was about to happen. The reason for this is that it was almost time for the 70 years to be up that was supposed to be upon his people in Babylon. The prophecy had said that they would be there for an allotted period of time. Daniel was carried away with it. Grew up down there. Here is God visiting with him. But it's almost time for the captivity of the Israelites to be over. Just before the captivity is over, the great leader of Babylon sends up to Jerusalem, destroys the temple. Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer, in the days of King Artaxerxes, he is going about, that is Nehemiah, going about very sad, very cast down, very troubled. He is so troubled about the situation, he doesn't know what to do. The king said, Nehemiah said, what's wrong with you? Because he must have been kind of a cheerful sort of a person. Said, you seem to be so cast down. Your countenance seems to be so fallen. What's wrong, Nehemiah? And he said, how can I be happy when the city of my fathers lays waste? The walls are all torn down. Everything that we ever believed in and cherished is completely gone. Being such an outstanding person, having done his work so well, here the king tells him, he says, Nehemiah, you go to my forest. You tell them whatever you need in the way of timber or whatever, I want you to have it. So then, having fasted and prayed, for he was fasting at this time, having fasted and prayed like Daniel, he went to carry out this thing that the king had told him to do. This is what Daniel was learning when the angel came to him. The thing that was going to happen was exactly what King Artaxerxes did. The angel said, Daniel, from the going forth of the commandment to restore Israel back to the Messiah shall be 70 weeks. That is 490 years from that time to the finishing of the transgression. About 536 B.C., the commandment went forth. It was about that time that King Artaxerxes gave this command. Now, notice if it was 536 B.C., that means that there wasn't but just that many years until Calvary. And the prophecy is 490 years. So 490 years from the 536 years would completely swallow up everything, with the exceptions of maybe a few years. Now notice this. What is it for? 490 years, Daniel. This is to make an end of the transgression. What is the transgression? From the time of Adam and Eve, the fall in the garden. I'd like for Brother Taylor to keep his Bible handy. Brother John Jameson, where are you? Come up here and help me, brother. We'll let Brother John Jameson keep his Bible handy in Daniel 9 and chapter 9, and he can read it, and Brother Taylor can work with me on the board. All right, now, determine upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Now, where did the transgression start? When Eve and Adam fell from the garden. That was a transgression. You say, what makes you think that was a transgression, Brother Pike, just because they disobeyed God? Because the Bible says later on, when Paul and the others are speaking, said that the man was not in the transgression. So it was the transgression. To make an end of the transgression. That's what the angel was saying. All right. And to make an end of sins. We know that the transgression of God's law is what brought sin and unbelief. Isn't that right? To make an end of it. How could this be? All right, let's listen as we go along. Keep these things in mind. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. Determine upon thy people. Who is the people? The Jews. Daniel's people. And upon thy holy city, what city? Jerusalem is the holy city. To finish the transgression. What transgression? The one that Adam and Eve caused. And to make an end of sins. You know what sin is. The sin that's been in the world, which is unbelief. To make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity. What is meant by reconciliation? Making a way that people can be reconciled back to God from the iniquity that they're caught in. A means of reconciliation. Bringing in reconciliation, Calvary, for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. All sin, all unrighteousness is sin. Going to bring in everlasting righteousness. What does he mean by everlasting righteousness? Because in that day the Bible tells us, that is under the law, there was a continual remembrance of sin brought to God's mind by the offering up of bulls, goats, and such like. Saying that those things could never atone for sin. But the Bible says that after this man, who was so great, made after the order of the priesthood of Melchizedek, after that he himself offered one offering, which was his own blood, his own body, that he sat down at the right hand of God, expecting until the people or his enemies be made his footstool. He brought in everlasting righteousness. Once and for all, the Bible said, by the faith of Christ, we are sanctified once and for all. What is everlasting righteousness? The Bible said, faith is imputed unto us as righteousness, which means his faith. By the faith of Jesus Christ, whereas our faith is a wavering faith, his faith is an unwavering faith, and the Bible said faith is imputed unto us as righteousness, that is the faith of Jesus Christ by which ye are sanctified. So then his faith to God in our behalf brought in an everlasting righteousness. All right, and to seal up the vision. What vision? The vision that Daniel was having. For Daniel said, I saw Gabriel fly swiftly. And seal up the vision and prophecy. What prophecy? The prophetical utterance that the angel was giving to Daniel, that Daniel might prophesy this many hundreds of years before it would come to pass. The prophecy that the angel had, the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. What is to anoint the most holy? When Jesus came, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That was the anointing upon Jesus. Jesus is the most holy. How do you know that Jesus is the most holy? He was the tabernacle in which God the Eternal Father dwelt without measure. This also pointed to the day when they would bring in the great tabernacle, reestablish the great tabernacle of Solomon, that it might be anointed, and that Christ Jesus as king also might be anointed, that he might sit upon that throne. So then we see what Daniel means here. All right, now, Brother John is going to read to us beginning where this ended, right here. Okay, John, read please.
For an understanding that from the going forth of the commandment.
Okay. Know ye therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment. Now don't forget now, King Artaxerxes 536. Know ye therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment.
To restore and to build Jerusalem.
To restore and build Jerusalem.
Unto the Messiah the Prince.
Unto the Messiah the Prince. Okay, now right there. To restore, to build Jerusalem. Now I want you to listen now. We don't have this on the board. To restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Prince, the Messiah. From the going forth. Now I say it over and over so you'll get a thought pattern of it. From the going forth of the commandment. What commandment? King Artaxerxes said, Nehemiah, go get all the timber you want. From the time, what time? About B.C. 536. From the going forth of the commandment to do what? Nehemiah, go build the city back. Build the city back. Build it for what reason? Because the Messiah is coming. When is the Messiah coming? He's coming about 500 years later. He's coming. Jesus is coming. Build the city back. Build the sanctuary, whereas he did build it. And later Herod enlarged upon the sanctuary. And then, of course, when Titus came, he tore it down again. But notice this. From the going forth of the commandment to restore the city, to build the city, there will be, and go ahead, Brother John.
Shall be 7 weeks.
7 weeks. Seven sevens is 49. All right. There will be 49 years. Okay.
And 3 score and 2 weeks.
3 score and 2 weeks. Now notice this. 7 weeks, 49 years. As far as we know, according to history, it took 49 years to build those walls back. It was an allotted time that God had given. But now, John, I want John to read this together, because reading it separately, you won't be able to understand the coming of the Messiah. The first part, 7 weeks, 3 score and 2 weeks. All right, now, if we take the 7 weeks, the 3 score and the 2 weeks, then we got 483 years. Can you read just a little more, John?
Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 3 score and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times.
All right, now, he said that it would be 7 weeks, 3 score and 2 weeks. Is that right, John? He said, and that would be built back in troublous times. Whereas, according to history and according to the Bible, during the time that Nehemiah tried to build these walls, Sanballat gathered his people together, a bunch of half-breeds, and made trouble for Nehemiah. And they mocked Nehemiah. They said, why, if a fox run across that wall, it would fall down. You know, they done us the same way here at the church. I was talking about the wall, such and such. They done him the same way. Said, if even a fox runs across that thing, why, the thing will fall down. But Nehemiah kept on building. Sanballat was upset because when Nehemiah took the old writings out and the chronicles out, checking up on them that were on the roll, that is to say, when they were overthrown in the days of Solomon's son, Rehoboam, in the time when they were overthrown, went down into Babylon, in the time when Israel was overthrown, went down to Babylon. See, checking on the chronicles, checking on the roll to see whose name was on there, that he might check up and see that during the 70 years, inasmuch as so many of them had intermarried, he wanted to find out who was really a genuine thoroughbred and not just a half-breed. Sanballat apparently didn't like that. And Sanballat figured that he was just as much Jew as they were Jew. So then it caused a clash. You know, it's always been that way, folks. It's always been that the half-breeds cause trouble. Ain't that right? Look at it any way you want to. Look at the backyard of the days of the West. What caused the trouble? It was the half-breed Indians that caused the trouble. Half white man, half Indian caused the trouble. It cost Custer his life. I remember the story. It was a half-breed that done it. What causes the trouble in the day we're living in? Not a real Christian. Jesus said it's not a real Christian. It's not a real sinner. Because he said, I would that ye be hot or be cold. But because ye are a half-breed, Because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. It's the religious half-breeds. They are half in and half out. That's why I'm so against the charismatic thing. Because you don't get in. You just stand at the door. You don't go in. You don't have your fruits unto holiness. See, you don't have the end there of everlasting life. When you add all of these things to your experience out here in the world, and you make allowance for everything, you don't dress holy. Now, if you don't dress holy, that's not fruits unto holiness. Somebody said, well, you can't preach on the clothesline, Brother Pye. But dressing as becoming holiness, that is the Word of God. And the Bible said, preach the Word. How else can you preach the Word without preaching that? You've got to preach on the clothesline. Because the Word of God speaks about the clothesline, if you want to put it that way. All right, so then we see it's the half-breed. Sanballat caused them a lot of trouble, folks. But nevertheless, Nehemiah, they took their swords in their hand. They eat with one hand, kept the sword in the other hand, or worked with one hand and kept the sword in the other hand. They always went right on working. And the Bible said they built the walls back because they had a mind to work. That's what we need at Bethlehem. That's what we need at Bethlehem. They built the walls back because they had a mind to work. You know, where a person faints is in their mind. Isn't that right? You don't faint in your physical being. You might get tired and weary, but in your mind is where you become defeated. The Bible teaches that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And to get the strength that we need to give us the mind of Christ to where we don't faint, it means we've got to wait on the Lord. And many of us faint because we don't wait on the Lord. Isn't that right? So then what we need to do is have a mind to work and not a mind to faint. Be not weary in well-doing. Beware lest you faint in your minds. All right, let's go on with our subject now. We've got 7 weeks, 62 weeks, 483 years. Now, where did the 483 years take us? 7 weeks takes us down to 49 years. Then 483 years takes us down to Calvary. 7 weeks, 62 weeks, 483 years takes us over to Calvary. Now, if you'll notice this is where Messiah is cut off. We'll get John to read it. Would you please read it, John?
And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off.
Right there now, John. After 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off. See, 7 weeks, then 62 weeks. After the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. That is, after the 49 years, and then the 62 weeks, 483 years, then Messiah will be cut off. Now tell us how he'll be cut off, John.
But not for himself.
But not for himself. That is, Jesus is coming. They're going to crucify him. He'll be cut off because they're building the wall back to the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. Now, they're going to kill him. He's going to be cut off, but not for himself. He isn't going to die because he has sinned. He isn't going to die for anything that he's done, but he will be cut off, not for himself.
And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city.
Okay, now, he'll be cut off. Jesus will be cut off, not for himself, but for the sins of the people. And the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, I want you to listen real close. The prince that shall come, 70 AD, after Calvary, Titus, came and he fulfilled the prophecy that said Jerusalem shall be plowed as a field. And to show you that it was the fulfillment of prophecy, the city was destroyed, the sanctuary was burned, whereas Titus didn't intend to destroy the sanctuary. But God's prophet said it shall be destroyed, and God brought the prophecy to pass. Whereas, you'll read it in a minute, said the end shall be with a flood. It was such a great slaughter until Titus said, I am not guilty of this thing. Said it's the hand of God. I didn't do this. I didn't intend to do this. It's such an outrageous thing, such a calamity that Almighty God has done this thing that I didn't have anything to do with it because I didn't intend to do this. Now, I want John to read that a little more. Will you, John?
And the end thereof shall be with the flood.
And the end thereof shall be with the flood, whereas flood waters people. And the end of this thing, he said, when this prince comes, it'll be such a slaughter of people that it'll be just a flood of people. Just a flood of people. People likened to waters in Revelation. It'll just be such a great slaughter of humanity. It'll be with a flood.
And unto the end of the war, desolation for eternity.
Such a great death, the flow of blood, a flood of blood. And until the end of the war, desolation are determined. Desolation, the loss of life. So much loss of life. The desolation, the loss of life. Until the end of the war, it shall be determined how many lives have gone. The desolation of lives. How many are desolate of life. It'll be determined toward the end of the war. All right, now, right here is where we really have to take note, people, to see what's going on. The prince that shall come shall destroy the city. The end thereof shall be with a flood, and then desolations shall be determined. All right, now, after that, the writing says, and he shall confirm the covenant with the people for 1 week. Now, there is a great difference between those two passages of Scripture. One passage is 70 A.D. The other passage takes up way over here at the end of the world. Now look at the difference. 70 weeks, 483 years brings us down to Calvary. Now, these things wouldn't work out if you took it by the Gentile calendar, because the Bible said the prince, the Antichrist or the prince would change the times and the seasons, whereas we've got what we call the Roman calendar, and he did change the times and the seasons when he come in. But by the Jewish calendar, it'll work out just right. Now, and he was speaking to the Jews and speaking to a Jewish mind according to Jewish understanding. 483 years, it brings us down to Calvary, the cutting off of the Messiah. When the Messiah was cut off, 483 years of the 490 years had already expired, which means that there wasn't but 7 years left. Now the Bible said 7 weeks, 62 weeks. That's what the angel said, which makes the 483 years, which leaves 1 week. We didn't plan it. We didn't say it. Somebody didn't concoct it up in their minds. But the Bible said that was the allotted time and the Messiah would be cut off. And it works out exactly that there is 1 7 years left. Figure it up and see. 483 years. Then figure up and see. You got 490 years if you add the last week. Is that right? All right, so then, this is why that it suddenly says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. What is he saying? It is the Antichrist coming in the end of the world. What does he mean, 1 week? He shall confirm the covenant. Who is he? Antichrist. What is meant by confirming the covenant? 1 week. He doesn't know that he's confirming it for 1 week. But the angel knows that from the time that this Antichrist comes forth, that there's not but 1 week left. There isn't but 1 week. There isn't but 7 years left till the millennium comes in. So then all he can do is confirm the covenant with them for 1 week. He doesn't know it's 1 week because he doesn't know how much time there's left. He thinks it'd be many years, no doubt. But it's 1 week. Now you say, well, Satan would know. No, he doesn't know till the middle of the week. And I can prove that by the Bible. When he's cast out of heaven, the Bible said he'll go about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time, 3.5 years. He knows that then. But this is the first of the week. All right, why is it called a week? It said, and he shall confirm the covenant with them for 1 week. Why is the term week used? Because when the prophecy came to Daniel, said 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. So then the angel knows that all the weeks are used up by the time we get to Calvary where Messiah's cut off. And there isn't but 1 7 years left. That is 1 week of the 70 weeks. So to carry his prophecy on through, he says, and he confirms it for 1 week, the last week of the 70 weeks. That is for the last 7 years of the 490 years. What is this last week? It is the last week of Daniel, the last week of the 70. It is Daniel's last week. That is the last week of the prophecy. It is the last 7 years of the 490 years. Now, in this, why is it that this week is not fulfilled until way over in the end of the world? How do you remember Jacob going to get his wives? And how that it was referred to that he had to fulfill her week as he did the others before he could have his wife? I noticed this. This has to do with the spiritual things. I wish we had plenty of time to go into Revelation to bring it out. But I want to clarify this much so that you'll understand when the end is coming, why the end is coming, how the end is coming, and you don't get all mixed up in your mind when you hear preachers preach and people say things. Notice this now. 483 years, Messiah's cut off. What happened when Jesus died? And we're going to have to get a little spiritual now. When Jesus died, that was the head to the Jewish people. When Jesus died, Israel died. You follow me now? Christ came forth to the Gentile people. So then from the time Calvary took place, Jesus died, the times of the Gentiles set in. It is referred to as the times of the Gentiles. In the Old Testament, it speaks of the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles set in. Why did it set in at Calvary? Why didn't it set in before Calvary? Why didn't it wait 500 years and set in? It couldn't. Because there is only one way that a Gentile people can exist in the world, and that is through grace. They couldn't exist no other way. The Jews had done everything to obey God, was constantly under the wrath of God. And then when Calvary came, grace was given because Jesus, the Lamb of the evening time, had died. The membership of that Lamb had died, which was Israel. The grace of God had come back because the blood was now on the seat of atonement, on the mercy seat. In the Old Testament, Aaron would take that blood of that lamb. The evening oblation, notice it now, the evening sacrifice. Daniel said it was about the time of this oblation when this vision came to pass. Now when it speaks of Antichrist over there, it says that he causes the oblation to cease in the sacrifice. But notice now, Aaron would go into this holy of holies. Now, he would take that blood and he would put that blood, sprinkle it on the mercy seat that was in the ark that had the covering cherubs over it. mixing that wonderful perfume with a coal off of the golden altar, bringing the incense, which was that beautiful vapor of sweet-smelling incense that caused him to be caught up in the cloud of the Spirit as he went in bringing the blood. Just like a blood sail is caught in the white pulp, the blood in the middle of it, being the life. Israel was that blood life in that cloud, that seed or that pulp, the blood in that cloud, the pulp, that came all the way down through the years with that covering. Said if you make any man makes any perfume like this, he'd be cut off from the people. That represented the Holy Ghost, a sweet smelling savor unto God. Aaron's sons was killed, slaughtered, right there as they were offering sacrifice because they brought in strange fire. Strange fire goes back to the blood. Nothing but the blood, the song says. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can for my sins atone? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. When Jesus died, 483 years, when he died, look at what happened. Grace came, the Gentiles come in. But the thing that really happened, if we be spiritual now, the thing that really took place was the life, which is the Spirit of God, withdrawn from the body of Jesus, withdrawn from the body of Israel. The Bible said, the body without the Spirit is dead. At death, the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. The Spirit withdrawn from the body of Jesus. It withdrawn from the body of Israel. Jesus, Israel, their king, the kingdom of David. All of it died. The son of David was killed. He was the one that had the kingdom. When they killed him, there was no more kingdom, because he was the king of the kingdom. Even the law, you could take the law and run it back through the Bible, through the lineage. And it positively proves by your law of today, Monroe law, all of the law, that Jesus is naturally, according to the law, the son of David, that the kingdom of this world belongs to him, that he must sit upon the throne and own this kingdom. It'll be proven by the law. I can prove it to you by the law and by the lineage of the Bible, that they'll have to give it to him by the law. That's why that I say that God has, through this presidential thing, done what he done at this particular time. I still say the Iranian thing is the beginning of the Third World War. It might prolong it just a little bit, but that's the beginning of it and the rise of Antichrist. Now watch and see. In this, teaching it after we come back from out yonder in Oklahoma. Just like Brother Denny giving us that gun the other night. I said it had to do with the divisions of Brother Branham's guns that we had. Going down to St. Augustine. This is about the president. The Iranian thing. All of it compact together shows that we're right at the end of the world. That's why we're teaching on this now. But notice that the Spirit of life left the body of Jesus. The head was killed, the members died. Out of the presence of God went Jesus and with Israel, because God turned his back on his son, and that many had his back turned on Israel. Out into the dark age of the Catholic massacre from 606 to 1520 and even from 70 AD on over with that great sacrifice and massacre, because God turned his back on them. You know what Hitler, all of those great leaders did to the Jewish people, how they suffered, continually suffering. But remember, when Jimmy Carter came in, JC, it indicated the peace of Israel, that God was through with the Gentile people. Now, I want you to listen to this. We are close to the finish line for the Gentile people. When that 483 years came according to the prophecy of that angel, when it came, Jesus was cut off. He died out of the presence of God. that we might live in the presence of God. How could we live in the presence of God? When the lie withdrew from Jesus, it went into another body. Because the Bible said in Paul's teaching of the Revelation that we are free from the old to be married to the new. The first man, Adam, that was responsible for the sin, the law, Jesus, Israel, folded up, laid away. We being under grace, them having suffered the penalty of judgment of law. The life departed from the body of Israel. It went into another body. It departed from the body of Jesus, went into the body of Christ, went into the spiritual Jew, which is called the true Jew, the body of Christ. Aaron would take that blood, go into the holies of holies, into the very presence of God, put that blood on the seat of mercy between the cherubs. This blood, Jesus himself, Christ, picked up the vesture that was dipped in blood, running down his brow from the thorns, running down his side from the spear, running down his hands from the nails, running down his feet from where they had torn his feet, running down his back where they had plowed his back like a field with the whip, plucked his beard, running down his face, torn every way, just a mass of blood, a vesture that was literally dipped in blood. Christ picked it up, took it to the right hand of the Father, set that blood on the seat of mercy. Every time God looks toward you and me, he thinks about what of all the suffering that his son did so that we could live. And God turns away his wrath. He says to himself, as we would say, my, I can't do that. Look at what my son went through with for Brother Pike and Brother John and Brother Taylor and the rest of the world. I can't do anything to him. He suffered so much I could never bear to do that. But look, friend, that life that came from the body of Israel, came from the body of Jesus, that Christ that picked up that blood-dipped vesture, set it on the seat of mercy, that same Christ left it on the seat of atonement. He came hurrying back into your heart, into my temple, into your temple, that he might officiate as the high priest, making intercession for the life in here. That is, that life that left that body of Israel, that left that body of Jesus, came back into my body and into your body. It left that body dead and went into a new body, the church. That is called the times of the Gentiles. As long as that life is in the church body, that means the Jew is dead. When Paul got the revelation of Jesus Christ, he saw these things in the Spirit, and he said, if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world, that is life to the church coming out of the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles, if the casting away of the Jew, the death of the Jew, the departing of the life from the Jew, the Spirit of God withdrawing from the Jew, if the casting away of the Jew be the reconciling of the world, reconciliation for iniquity, if it be the reconciling of the world, what will be the receiving of the Jew but life from the dead or the resurrection? If Israel represents that our body as the Gentile people are dead to where God doesn't see any of our iniquity, because iniquity is conceived in the flesh, then what will the receiving of the Jews be but those that are in the ground coming forth in the resurrection, and your bodies coming out from under grace, coming to life again, to be judged either for righteousness or for iniquity. If when that blood is moved, then your body will come to life as a saint of God, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. and be so in the sight of God, or I will despise thine image in the morning as a bastard child, because you've never got life or Christ on the inside to change your wretched image into the image of the Son of God. Notice this. When that life departed, the time of the Gentiles came in. The time of the Gentiles continued over till the church ages was finished. What does it mean when the church ages are finished? Doesn't it sound reasonable in your understanding to believe that when the church ages are finished, that there is no more age for the church? Don't you believe that when Pentecost started, the church started? When Christ came back into the hearts of them at Pentecost? That was the return of Christ, ascending 10 days before on the Mount of Olives, coming back. Said if he returns quickly, everything's all right. If the high priest comes back quickly from going into the tabernacle, everything's all right. But if he tarry long, then wrath is upon the people. He hurried back to you and I. 10 days later, everything's all right. But the Gentiles, he's never returned to them yet. The church ages is stretched out. He's still waiting to come back. In his wrath, Revelation 19, a vesture dipped in blood. He's coming back. Everything ain't all right with him. Now, he's come back. The church ages, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, and so on, right on down. Sardis, Laodicea, right on down the line. 7 church ages. Notice this. Every one of them, step by step, right on down. Philadelphia, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphian church age, Laodicea, every one of them, the church ages, one step at a time, one step at a time, one step at a time. Jesus was seen in the middle of them. You know how we teach it concerning the things of Paul? You remember, I don't have time to go into all that tonight, but you remember how we teach this concerning Paul, how we teach it concerning John off of the western coast of Asia, about 30 miles out in the water on a little rocky island, having been exiled there during the time of the Domitian regime, which was a great bloody slaughter, being put out there. John saw the great vision, Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks, taking the 7 churches that Paul had established. He'd established about 10. But these 7 churches, he had taken them. See, the time of the Gentiles from Pentecost over to the coming of Christ. Now look at it for a minute. From Ephesus over to Laodicea. What is Laodicea? A half-breed age. Lukewarm. Is that right? Over, stand at the door, won't go in. Saying they're rich, have need of nothing. And yet they're wretched, naked and blind. I counsel of you, said, to buy me raiment trying to fire. That is, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the body of Christ. Put on the vesture dipped in blood. So that I'll look at you and see the blood of Jesus. You living, that white garment. That vesture that went down through the flames of hell that's been tried in the fire. You that have went through your trials and heartaches and sorrows. Tried as if a fire. I challenge of you to buy that raiment. You can't get it. But it says, Zion, put on your beautiful garments. The church has made itself ready. The end of the church ages. Now listen for just a few moments now. The end of the church ages. Laodicea. The last one of them. And what happens in the book of Revelation when the last church age expires? Immediately, Revelation chapter 4 comes in. At the very end. End of the church ages. John is caught up into heaven. What is that? The rapture of the church. And you say, Brother Pike, why do you say that? Because it's the end of the church ages. If the age of the church is over, God isn't going to leave the church here. Because if that's the end of the age of the church, what is God going to do with the church? Catch it out of here. Now, what has that got to do with us? We're the church. Immediately at the end of the church ages, the church is caught up. John is up here in heaven seeing all of those glorious things, the elders, everything. He sees the Jews sealed because immediately the mantle from Elijah comes back to Elisha. The angel ascending from the east, having the everlasting seal, to seal the 144,000, saying to the four angels that's got the four winds of the earth, hold it back. Don't let anything blow on the earth. Don't let anything happen to the earth. Don't let the bombs fall. Don't let the earthquakes happen. Don't let the plagues come. Don't let anything happen until I seal these Jews. Because the church has done gone out of here, now I can seal the Jews. All right, listen. When is this? At the first of the week. You follow me? When is the catching away of the church? At the first of the week. Why do you say the first of the week? Because the end of the church ages will be the end of the Gentile people. That will be the finishing of the Gentile age. It was said to the Egyptians, when their cup is full, to Abraham, when their cup is full, 430 years, 490 years. You see the connection between it? 430 years and still another 40 going through the wilderness. You follow me? These things had to do with the very thing that we're speaking of here. I wish we had time to just go into and break every little bit of it down. The end of the church age means the rapture of the church. The last stages of the church is Laodicea. The first stages of it is the Nicolaitan, an ecclesiastical thing, Ephesus. But the last stages of it, it's just done got just slapped down to nothing in the last days. The church has just got down to a Laodicean condition, that is the church world. So the true church goes out, the end of the church ages. What does it mean? It means the days of the Gentiles is finished. What does that mean? It means that God is not dealing with the Gentiles anymore at the end of the church ages. That finishes it. When Lot went out of Sodom, the Bible said the very day that he went out, the fire and brimstone came down. And the writer likens Lot unto the church. The salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. The salt goes, the meat spoils. The end of the church age. All right, now listen real close. At the end of the church age, I say that it is the beginning of Daniel's first week. Because if God come to the Gentiles the very moment that he cut the Jews off at Calvary, then the very moment that the church goes up, it will be the resurrection of the dead. Paul said the receiving of the Jews, the seal, the resurrection of the dead. For we which are alive and remain shall not prevent them that sleep, Thessalonians, but they shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them together in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And the air, I believe they say, goes up about 50 miles. In the cloud of his coming. Now listen real close. The end of the church age, the first resurrection, the dead in Christ. The wicked dead live not again till after the 1,000 years is finished. But these that come forth are to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Changed we are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, from the terrestrial to the celestial. Before we can bat our eye, we'll be changed in the glorious liberties of the sons of God and caught up to meet him. That's why I said early in my statement that the Spirit of God, when it brings the resurrection, you that have been dead, consider yourself to be dead with Christ Jesus, buried in baptism, You that are dead, all of a sudden coming to life, you will be the body of the Lord. The others coming to life, there out of the grave will only be the body of the Lord. The wicked dead live not again till the 1,000 years are finished. Those graves will remain right on through the millennium. The ocean, the rivers, all that have the dead in it will remain right on through the millennium. And they will not come out until after the 1,000 years. But notice this now. I say that it's the first of the week. And it's going to take me a little bit longer, so just hold on now. You're doing real good. The first of the week. Somebody says, Brother Pike, when will, and I've been asked this a lot of times, when will the tribulation set in? Who knows when the tribulation will set in? What day will it set in? When it's going to happen? I'm telling you to a T right now. At the very end of the church ages, just as quick as it finishes, the first day of that last 7 years, Daniel's last week, which is the 7 years tribulation, will immediately start. It will start immediately. You say, well, that still don't let me know when it is. It certainly does. The very minute that you are raptured out of this world, the very beginning of the tribulation sets in. Not a moment before, not any after, but immediately when you go out of this world. So don't let anybody tell you any other way, any other time. When the church ages are finished, when you're raptured out, the tribulation starts, the last week of Daniel begins. All right. So then, the last 7 years sets in, the last week. Antichrist will confirm the covenant for 1 week, because it won't be but 7 years. Why will it start at the very time that the church goes out? Because when the church goes out, the spirit that left Israel, that left Jesus, the spirit of Christ, it will leave the Gentile people, because immediately the blood atonement will shift from the mercy seat to the judgment seat. Notice this now. We will be caught up. Now watch real close. We will be caught up at the first of the week. The dead in Christ shall rise. We will no longer be considered natural, but spiritual. So we will be the spiritual life. The life leaving the Gentile people. We, the spiritual life, the life of Christ, will immediately go back to the Jews, to that dead body, resurrect that dead body, bring those Jews back out, because they're considered dead in the sight of God. As quick as the dead people come up out of the ground, the righteous dead, it will symbolize that the Jewish people have been accepted by God. The spirit of life leaving the body of Christ, going back to the first body. You say, where do you get that? Look at Jacob's wives. Wasn't that the way it was? He wanted Rachel. Isn't that right? He wound up with Leah. What happened? How do you understand what I'm saying? But he went on living with Rachel. But on the way to the father's house, the way to Ephrathah, which means little Bethlehem, or Bethlehem that is. On the way, she died in the way. Isn't that right? Rachel bringing forth Benoni, Benjamin. Isn't that right? The son of the old age, son of Sarah, bring him on. What did he do? He went right back to Leah. Isn't that right? The wife that he worked the last week for. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then that means just as quick as Rachel is gone, for the Bible said her soul departed from her body as Benjamin was being born. Just as quick as Israel comes in, that's the birth. Paul, the Jews, travail till we come in. Now we travail till Benjamin comes in. And as Benjamin comes in, her soul departed from her. God goes right back to the Jewish people. Isn't that right? That's that last week. Fulfilling the last week. The wife of the last week. When he turns back to Leah, Leah is the one that is buried with him in the tomb. Leah is the one that's numbered with Israel. Leah, the life, returns back to that other body, the Jewish body. The Jewish body. How do you understand what I'm saying? You say, but Brother Pike, I'm mixed up. Wasn't Rachel first? No. Salvation is of the Jew. He labored for Rachel because he wanted a spiritual bride. God is a spirit. But who did he get? Leah. But he went to live with Leah. See, he cut off the Jews. He wouldn't have them because he wasn't satisfied with them. He come on over and got Rachel. But at the rapture, he goes back to Leah. All right, now look at it for just a little bit so we can clear it up real good and then we'll close. In this catching away, right at the end of the church age, he goes back to the Jewish people. The life goes back to the Jewish people. It isn't among the Gentiles anymore. As long as the spirit of the church is in the midst of the Gentiles, it means that that spirit of God that left Israel is in this body, this other body. But when the church goes out, the spirit of God will not remain in that other body or among that other body, poured out of his spirit upon all flesh, because the atonement will be over. The blood will be on the mercy seat no more. Immediately, we are caught up to the throne. That is the spiritual part of the church, the body, the man child. But in the middle of the week, Israel, after having been sealed, going through the first part of the week, the 3.5 years while the prophets are preaching to them, through this time, the middle of the week, up goes the body, the church, of the wilderness, which is the Jew, which means that we going to the throne. Now has come power. We going to the throne. How do you understand what I'm saying? We going up to the throne. It means that Satan can no longer be in the presence of God. I need to bring something in here to clarify it. The first of the week, the church age is over, the church is gone. Immediately, the Jews come back in. They're sealed. Israel, 144,000. Bringing in Benjamin. You follow me? Then, when we go up to the throne, it indicates the birth being over. The woman in travail, Israel, who brought forth Jesus. See, the life is returning back to the Jesus. He is no longer a blood vesture sitting on a seat of atonement. Because he hath raptured out the church, he has finished with his high priest office of intercession. He goes back into the blood vesture body. When he does, it indicates that he is not on the seat of atonement, but he picks that body up, moves it on the seat of judgment to rule with the rod of iron. He moves it from the second heaven up into the third heaven. Like that. How do you understand what I'm saying? That is speaking of the church now. The church of the second heaven. Going up into the third heaven. He sits on the seat of judgment, overcoming, sitting down not at the right hand of the Father, but in the throne with the Father, being God Almighty. And immediately all of the plagues is loose. All of the locusts is loose. The prophets come preaching. All of these things begin to happen because the trumpets begin to sound. Now, I disagree with some folks, and I guess you'll probably know it in a few minutes. But anyway, the trumpets begin to sound. When the trumpets begin to sound, all of them sound except the last three. And then it's woe, 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 which is the three woes. Two of them sound, which makes six trumpets. One trumpet is left. There is a divine intervention of Revelation 10, where the angel with the covenant over his head comes in. When he comes in, it is then and it is there that the seven thunders utter their voice. When John goes to write the seven thunders, it is said unto John, seal them up. Write them not. Don't write the things that the thunders uttered. Six of those trumpets had sounded. The church has been raptured. The church ages are over. The Jews have come in. Now remember, he shows the nail prints to Israel over at Revelation 19 when he comes back on the white horse, standing upon the Mount of Olives. As you've seen him go, so shall he come in like manner. Revealing the nail prints. Coming in Revelation 19 to bind Lucifer, to put him in the bottomless pit. But just before the middle of the week, Revelation 19 is the end of the week. Just before the middle of the week, notice this, that the sixth trumpet sounds, the angel of Revelation 10 speaks, the thunders utter their voice as he roars as a lion. John doesn't record those. They're not written in the Bible. He doesn't record them. Immediately, Revelation 11 tells about the prophets, tells about the earthquakes, tells about the prophets being killed, measuring the outer courts, the temple, bringing in the Jew. Because it is immediately in the middle of the week that the outer courts come in, which is the Jew. They've already been sealed through the first part of the week, tutored by the prophets, and now the coming in is at hand, and Lucifer goes out of heaven because John said in the 12th chapter, I saw this great wonder in heaven. I saw this great wonder. I saw the great red dragon. I saw the woman travailing to bring forth the man-child. I saw this great war take place. I saw the things that were so wonderful. It was a wonder in heaven. 12 stars on her head, clothed with the sun, standing on the moon. The law of the moon, the 12 apostles' teachings up here, on her head, clothed with the glory of God, which was the radiance, the sun shining within the strength. The child was born, caught up to the throne, which means that Jesus picked up the blood vesture, took it to the throne of judgment, sitting there to rule because he had finished the priesthood work, which was in the heart of the church. Then the voice said, now has come power. Now has come strength. Now it's come. Because we are ready to come back and make war. It is from that time that Lucifer goes out. Now I want you to listen to this. He goes out. John immediately in the 13th chapter, he sees the beast coming up out of the waters. The seven heads and the 10 horns. And you know how I bring that out concerning the constitution of those things that Daniel saw. We don't have time to get those things in here tonight. But immediately when Lucifer goes out of heaven, he personifies himself in somebody. Out of the waters means out of the vast multitude of people. The end thereof shall be with a flood. Who did he personify himself in? He personified himself in this person called he. John, would you read that again? Now listen.
And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week.
When he says 1 week, the last week of Daniel, the last 7 years, the time of Jacob's trouble, likened unto the days when Jacob was down in Egypt, bereaved of Joseph and so forth. for 1 week, which means 7 years. That means there's no doubt about it being. Now, you say, when will the Antichrist come and all these kind of things? There's no doubt about him starting at the very first of the week. Because, you see, confirms it for a whole week. That means the whole tribulation period, the whole 7 years. When does he come in? When we get out of here. Boy, I tell you, that just tore some folks all to pieces. They just had the Antichrist figured out that every preacher come along or somebody that didn't teach their doctrine, you know, that had to be him. And the devil, he uses that just as sure as Brother Pike's doing a little good over here. Somebody else say, yep, there he is. No, he will be here when I and the church goes out of here. He will confirm the covenant for 1 week. How will this come about? I believe with all of my heart that just as quick as the Gentile people and the man that's called he that will be one of them, as quick as they see that the church is raptured out and gone, that they're going to be tore up so bad, knowing that there's no hope for them within the church, no hope for them within the days of grace, that they're going to run to the Jew. And that day they'll say, I've heard that you're a Jew. Let me take hold of your hand. Run to the Jew, seeking a covert from the storm, knowing that the Jews, according to the Bible, by knowledge they know, that the Jew is the apple of God's eye. Taking cover, seeking the next way of protection or escape. Because the church is gone, grace is over. So he runs in there and tries to convince them that he is one of them. And if you remember the sermon I preached not too long ago, you could get some idea concerning he. Because he isn't going to make the rapture. Now, when he goes in there, going to those people, he will confirm that covenant with them, flatter them, find their favor. The Jews will just love him, swallow him up. And everything will be fine. While the prophets are preaching, everything's going on. But the middle of the week, after 3.5 years, Lucifer is going to be cast out. When he comes out, he's going to go into he or him. And at that very moment, he is going to reveal himself. And they're going to find out that he never was with them. That he had his own motives and plans, and his hypocrisy caused him to be a perfect target for Satan. And Lucifer will enter into him, and he will go and place himself within that temple to make himself God, showing himself that he is God, because Lucifer will do that. He sitteth in the temple of God, in your physical temple, if you're not right with God. And he'll sit in that temple showing himself as God. But now read this, John, and you'll see what his plans are.
And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease.
In the midst of the week, the midst of the week, the woman with the feet on the moon, Lucifer cast out, that's the midst of the 7 years. In the midst of the week, when the prophets are killed, that's the midst of the week. It don't say we'll break the covenant, but yet in other places it speaks of him breaking the covenant. It says he will cause the sacrifice and the oblation. Daniel said it's about the time of the evening oblation. He will cause it to cease for the overspreading. Would you read it, John?
And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate.
For the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. What does he mean? He will stop the sacrifice in the middle of the week when Satan goes into him. He won't let that sacrifice go anymore. He was going right along with him. But when Lucifer enters into him, he won't go along with him. They'll stop the true worship of God, the true sacrifice to God. For the overspreading of abomination that maketh desolate. Jesus said this. When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, the place it ought not, then shall the end come. for the overspreading of abomination, what is he saying? He will cause the real sacrifice to cease, the worship unto God to overspread or to spread about or to spread out with his own abominable idolatries and evil practices and evil doings and evil ways, which will be causing the people to worship him and to conform to him. For the overspreading of abomination that maketh desolate, which means make desolate of the spirit of the living God. And what does it say, John?
Even until the consummation.
Even until God consumes it, or the consummation, the end.
And that determined.
And that determined
shall be poured upon the desolate.
Everyone that will take that mark becomes desolate of the Spirit of God. In the sight of God, they're desolate of life. Just like a desert, it's desolate. Don't have any life. There's no future to it, no hope to it. There's no seed in it, nothing to grow. They're desolate in the sight of God. That which is determined means what God hath determined before the world ever was to pour out upon Antichrist. Until that which is determined shall be poured out. That's God pouring out his wrath upon the desolate. That is, they that have taken the mark or have no future with life are God. Which means from the middle of the week on over to Revelation 19, it means the pouring out of the vials, all the great plagues and things. That is what is determined by God to be poured out upon the desolate. How many understand what I'm saying? All right, that's all of it, isn't it, John? All right, now, there's just so many things that we could say tonight concerning this that might prove to be helpful or enlightening. But there's one thing that I believe that I can say. I believe these few things will help you to understand Daniel's 70 weeks and the prophecy of the end time as to the way it will happen. Now, it is very obvious that that is the way that it will happen. In that it will happen that way, then don't go get your minds all messed up with some super vision, some super revelation, some super idea, some super evangelist that got some wild notion. Because that's all he's got, is the wild notion. Tonight we've laid it down line upon line and precept upon precept and showed that that last week will not start until the church gets out of here. The reason, there's a reason it will not start, and that reason is because of the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles had to be fulfilled before that life can return back into that body. I love you and I appreciate you. You've done real good tonight. You've sat real quiet and real reverent. And I hope that you'll listen to what we say, and if there's any questions, now you can get the little book on the sign of his coming. We have some of these things cleared up in there. Of course, there's other things that is in the sign of his coming that you can get, and it might help you to understand a little better. But I believe that this is enough to let you know that the rapture, as we use the terms, is close at hand. It is close at hand, my friend. The church ages are about over. This is why I do not agree with the outlook of some of them that call themselves different ones following. First of all, I can't agree with that. Because it's just like those seven trumpets, they don't even sound until the church has been raptured. To begin with, they don't even sound until the church has been raptured. Neither does Revelation 10, the angel come until the church has been raptured. There is no way that those things happen only in the spiritual perspective. They don't even happen until the church is gone out of here. So that's why a lot of times I act reluctant when I say something or they put me on the spot and they say, do you believe this or do you believe that? If I didn't understand, I'd say, well, I believe it because I wouldn't know what to say. But if I understand and I know and then I say those things, I will be guilty before God. And brothers and sisters, if you know and you understand and then you say, you will be guilty before God. If you do not know, God will not hold you guilty. They do not know, God will not hold them guilty. But there's one thing for sure, said with the sounding, and I hope that we understand this last part, it's in the little book, with the sounding of the last trump, the mystery of God should be finished. I want you to get this now. With the sounding of the last trump, the mystery of God should be finished. Now let me say this in closing right quick. The sounding of that last trump, I want you to listen. That angel of Revelation 10 comes. The thunders roll. Them thunders have to do with the Jewish church coming in. Now listen to that for just a minute. The sounding of the last trump. What does it have reference to? Jesus' descension from heaven. The trump, the last trump. The trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise. What does it have reference to? The two trumps of Israel. The first together, the last, to send them forth in battle. You know what I believe? When that last trump, the one that sent them forth in battle, sounds. Now you say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? Check it and see if in the book of Revelation, in the middle of the week, just as quick as that trump sounds, see if they don't make themselves ready for battle, pour out the wrath upon Antichrist, and get ready for Revelation 19 to fight. When them thunder sounded, it says, the voice said, the thunders, don't write them down, but when this last angel, the last trump sounds, the mystery will be finished. And just as quick as they finish talking about them prophets after Revelation 10, the Bible said the seventh angel sounded. Immediately when he sounded, John saw the great wonder in heaven. There was war in heaven. And what comes with thundering and lightning? What comes with war in heaven? When you see out here around you a great thunderstorm, a great lightning, a great thing, it signifies war in heaven. The hot clouds and the cold coming together, darkness and light coming together. It's signified even by the end time that we're having the clash right now with the people and with the races. When you see those clouds, because the Bible speaks of the people as being clouds of witnesses, the friction, the lightning, the murmuring, which is the thundering, those thunders up there, immediately when that trumpet sounded, that great war with Michael and the archangels started up there, and what happened? Immediately, that was the thundering. The thundering, the war in heaven, it says that the mystery will be finished. Don't write it, John. Don't write it. But when the seventh angel sounded, the mystery will be finished. It remains a mystery, John. It is not written. But when that seventh angel sounds, he'll make it known. And immediately when he sounded, that great war took place in heaven. Those thunderings, all of those things took place. Those bombs began to fall, those roarings and all of these great things. The Bible said there was a great thunder and then an earthquake. It's obvious that he's speaking of a bombing thing. When that bomb comes down, the great roaring of it and the earthquake opens up. And then the terror and the horror and all the sights and the things that exposes itself. For the thunder uttered his voice. It uttered its voice. Now, I know there's men running around calling themselves the seven thunders and like a bunch of children. It's hard to get a hold of it. People will do any such thing as that. Them thunders don't even utter their voices till after the church is raptured. So then, in that the seventh angel sounded, immediately the mistress was finished. Because the Bible said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And then, throughout Revelation, it tapers off in the finishing of the expose of what was revealed in that seventh angel sounding to the coming of the celestial city of New Jerusalem. So then, it is obvious that there are some that don't understand. And I can't make them listen because People get their own idea about it. But I'll tell you one thing. The Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept, everything will fit together perfectly. There won't be anything out of coordination. But you can't go into it with a natural mind because it won't fit. It won't fit. You'll study, you'll just drive yourself crazy. That's all. It has to be what John called it, the revelation of Jesus Christ. He alone, Paul said, pray for the spirit of revelation. He alone hath the spirit of revelation. For he is the revealed Christ. And at the end of the church ages, what comes? Immediately, the revelation. And what is the revelation? The coming of the Lord Jesus. All right, I want you to stand with me. I hope you can understand. You say, but Brother Pike, if the revelation is the coming of the Lord, why is it the church has not been raptured? What makes you think that the church hasn't been raptured? I say again, the word rapture isn't in the Bible. There is a Christ side, there is a Jesus side. And in the sign of his coming in the little book, we elaborate just a little bit concerning the Christ side of it, as well as this Jesus side that we spoke of tonight. We first in the book elaborate on the Christ and his coming. And then we followed up with what we taught tonight in the Jesus and his coming. But remember, the Bible said when he comes, every eye shall see him. They that pierced him shall see him. Everything in heaven, though they're dead that pierced him, everything in the earth, everything under the earth, that is, that's dead. Everything I heard saying glory and honor, power and praise to the Christ of heaven. Revelation 19, his returning. All shall see him. They shall see the nail prints in his hand as he stands upon the Mount of Olivet. They shall behold him and narrowly look upon him. With the coming of Thessalonians, we are going to go to meet him in the air at the first of the week. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, do you mean that my natural body is going to be caught out? I mean that your natural body is going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, to a celestial body. And I mean that it's going to be caught up into the air. And Jesus is going to appear out there in a cloud. Remember, when he comes, he'll be coming to the Jew. Remember that now. I wish we had more time to explain it. He'll be coming to the Jew when he comes. Caught up in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Where will we be? Somebody has said. We will be in the same place that Elijah is in. The same place that Enoch is in. Was they caught up in their body? They most assuredly was. When the fiery chariot came down, when the fiery horses came down after Elijah went over Jordan, a whirlwind dropped down in the midst of them, separated them, and away Elijah went. When the whirlwind came down and picked up Enoch, away he went. Where are they? They are hid with Christ. Where? Where are they tonight? They are in glory. How far is glory? On the hilltop of the transfiguration, I stood on the same mountain. Right there, on that mountain, stood Jesus, stood Moses, stood Elijah. Where were they? The Bible said they appeared in glory. Where are they tonight? In glory. Where will we be? In glory. Now it brings on another teaching. For the glory of the young man is his strength, and the glory of the woman is the hair. And the stars differ in glory, one to another. And we're talking tonight about his glory. So then that brings on another sermon. But at least you know where we'll be. We'll be in glory. You love Jesus? All right, let's sing a little chorus together. Pass me not, oh. gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. Can you sing it with me? Oh, Savior, Savior, won't you hear my humble cry, and while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass me by. You know, this is why it is so needful, Christian friend, to get the revelation. Get the Spirit of God in you. Get the revelation within you. Because we are working our way from glory to glory, from faith to faith, to be prepared, to be fully equipped, to be completely changed into His glory, that everything will be right up to par. The woman on the moon, the child had to be right down to the last stages. Then the birth comes. We, I travail till Christ be formed within you. We, through the revelation from glory to glory, are forming Christ on the inside. We can't fail to walk right, to be careful. That mother has to be careful for the sake of that child, that it will be perfect, without a blemish, no mark of the flesh or the beast on it. It has to be just so. Just so. And then, if we have done just exactly according to the physician's rules, the heavenly, decent physician, the physician's rule, then at that moment, the moment, the twinkling of an eye, everything will be ready and we'll go home, as we use the terms, to be with Him. So much that I know that you don't understand. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. That's why that we bring out a little in the sign of His coming. There is something that has already happened to them that know and understand. To be absent from the body is to be present with God. Pardon me. To reckon yourselves to be dead by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Separated, that is your spirit. At death, the spirit of life goes back to God who gave. How many understand what I'm saying? Right now, you should be doing great things for God. Right now, you should be understanding what I mean about being absent from the body. Because in Thessalonians, you won't be absent from the body. The body will be changed. But there's a great thing that's happening now, beloved friend, if you just understand. All right. One more chorus and we'll let you go. I need Thee, Lord. I need Thee. Sing it with me, will you? Every hour I need Thee. I need Thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, Look at the great experiences. The great experiences that Elijah had. Moses had, Abraham had, Paul had, caught up to the third heaven. When you come to know Jesus, something takes place. But speaking after the manner of men and your infirmities of mankind, then we explain to you the way it will be. Thessalonians. Chains. You know, it's really a magnificent thing. I stand here a lot of nights and I see the cross projected in that red covering up there right in the middle. You know, like hanging between heaven and earth. It picks it up so beautifully up there, reflects it, a beautiful cross up there. Makes me think about the cross the other day when we was putting up the post to run the vision over to Darrell's, that is the cable. Getting over the Jordan and what it had to do with concerning understanding. Understanding at this time. Been able to understand. You know, to get out of the wilderness, to get over the Jordan, is to conquer death. To understand, to believe, to know, to be convinced. Can we sing it one more time? I want thee, Lord.